We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and my introduction to today's guest is going to be a real challenge. And it's not because of her resume, which is absolutely incredible, but because of her name. Her voice has been on hundreds of recordings, and by our own estimate, it could be heard in somewhere around 800 films. Also TV work. Included in the film work, she was a hugely successful ghost singer, and she was also one of the most in-demand backup singers of all time for dozens of recording artists, including Frank Sinatra, Barbara Streisand, Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby, Gordon Lightfoot, The Carpenters, Mama Cass Elliot, and so many others. She was the La 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 Girl on a huge hit record from 1962 that inspired Elton John to write Crocodile Rock. And she had her own big hit record in 1963, which over the years has become one of the most beloved seasonal favorites of all time. So you ask, what's the challenge? Well, on that one seasonal hit single, she did not have her own name on the label. And yet, because of its popularity, she is better known by many as the person whose name was on that label, someone so near and dear to her. Well, I'll tell you what. Borrowing a leaf from an iconic music personality, I'm going to now introduce her in this way. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to introduce the artist, formerly known as Robin Ward, the singer of the hit Wonderful Summer, who has become better known by her own name. Welcome to the show, Jackie Ward.
Well, for heaven's sakes, my gosh, I'm so impressed with myself from what you've said.
You should be.
Well, my goodness, thank you so much. It just was life for me, natural in what I did, but the way you put it, it sounds like, oh my gosh.
But I mean, it's all true.
It's true. Of course, it happened over many, many years. It's a body of work, and I'm sure there are a lot of other people who have done as much as I have done. But really appreciate that intro. That was very, very nice.
Well, thank you so much. For the sake of this interview, I'm going to call you Jackie.
Okay.
But people will know, as we're going to explain in a few moments, that Jackie Ward and Robin Ward, as listed on that label, were in fact the same person. Most of the records that I play are going to be played in their entirety, including five recordings from films in which you did the singing and the actresses were moving their lips, lip syncing to what you did. How did you get started in the business?
I was born in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. My father was in the Navy. And when the war started, we were moved back to his home state, my mom's home state of Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I, you know, had my formative years and went to school. And my sisters, we sang. The whole family sang. My mother's sisters, everybody mm-hmm. sang. So we sang, and at that time there was a radio show, Coast to Coast, which was the biggest well-known show. It's kind of like American Idol was in this genre. At any rate, we auditioned for the Horace Heights show.
In your hometown, or did you have to travel to do the audition?
We lived in a little town in Nebraska, and the nearest, what they call the big city in our little town, was Norfolk, Nebraska, the city where Johnny Carson's from, and some other people that I know. And that was where the auditions were held. So we had to drive to Norfolk, which was about 50 miles away from our little hometown. We went there to audition, and then, oh, I guess it was, you know, maybe a few days later, possibly a week later, they called us at home to tell us that they accepted us and that we were going to be on the show.
And you were actually called the McDonald Sisters?
The McDonald Sisters, yes. McDonnell. Like McDonnell Douglas.
And Horace Heidt, by the way, was a very popular band leader of his day.
Oh, he was. It was a huge show. And we were accepted and put on as one of the contestants in a Coast to Coast radio show. And we won.
Wow.
And my folks said, well, my gosh, you know, if they're that good, well, maybe we should see what else they can do. And so my parents moved bag and baggage to Hollywood, California. Actually, not right in Hollywood, but, you know, in that general area. So that's how it started, and we went and auditioned near the television station, because back then they had a talent department and people could go in and audition. You know, television was relatively new in the 50s for entertainment. And so we auditioned and they put us on a show. And that's basically how it all kind of started.
And that show was called Bandstand Review.
That is the show
that
we wound
show.
Up doing at KTLA here in local Hollywood area.
Yeah.
They first put us on an all-women's band show called Ina Ray Hutton. We guested on that, and then they liked us so much they decided to put us on their Bandstand Review. It was kind of like a hit parade show. It was West Coast and regional. It was in Texas and Arizona and places like that, and the West Coast.
At some point, your sisters decided...
Yeah, that they just were not, you know, not as involved in it. And I became very involved in it. One thing that happened that really caused me to, you know, think hard and long about it, we were doing our show, and we always had guest artists come on the show. Oh, my brain. I'm having a senior moment here.
Easy. I have many of them.
Oh, gosh. Why can't I think of his name?
Wanna Buy a Vowel?
Tony Bennett, there it is.
There.
Tony Bennett came on our show, and when he walked in, there were five singers that came in with him, and he was passing out music to them as he was passing it out to the orchestra, and they were not on camera, they were off camera, but they were reading this music, and I found out that they had never seen this music before. They just came in, they were what is called studio singers, and they were backing him up. Well, I knew I could sing, but that's something I couldn't do, and it really, really bothered me.
Talking about sight-reading music.
So I decided I've got to learn how to do that. So I went to Los Angeles City College for a couple of years, and I studied music and studied sight-reading and learned how to read music because I wanted to be able to do what they could do.
From that,
I kind of evolved into doing records and what have you.
Not all backup singers can read music.
Well, at that time, that was in the 50s, most all of the studio singers read music. But as music tastes started to change and we got into rock and roll and rhythm and blues and it evolved, then there started to be singers that did that kind of music that didn't read. It did change over time. Not totally, but it did change.
Over the next few years, actually, that was the beginning of it, and you were doing a couple of things. You were doing demos for songwriters and recording artists. You were doing a lot of demos. For anybody in my audience that's not familiar, they're recordings that are not meant to be finally released, but they're actually to demonstrate songs for the songwriters to be able to pitch to producers and recording artists. And you also did session work as well.
Oh, yeah. What you're saying is absolutely true, because back then, most all the artists got their songs from songwriters. They didn't write them themselves. That has eventually changed as well.
Yeah.
I did a lot of demos and then started doing some background work. My husband was a music copyist at that time. He had worked with several people, and this one gentleman by the name of Jimmy Haskell, who is very well known in the music industry. They worked together, and a couple of times Jimmy said, I need some girl singers, and so he said, Jackie, you want to try it? And I said, sure, I'll try it. So I got a couple of gal singers that I knew. That's how that started, doing record dates for composers. You build a reputation by word of mouth. He recommended me to somebody else, and somebody else recommended me to somebody else, and that's the way a studio singer gets to be. An agent can't buy you a job doing that. It's just a completely different thing. So that's kind of how it evolved.
Jimmy Haskell passed away recently.
I was at his services. A lovely man, just a sweet, sweet, dear person. And his daughter is a singer now, Scotty, and she's a real dear person as well.
And now it's time to get on with the music. And there's going to be plenty of it. We're going to start out with a recording from 1962. This came out before you became known as Robin Ward. 1962, a novelty hit called Speedy Gonzales. And before I ask you about it, 2 or 3 years ago, I spoke to Pat Boone, who recorded the hit version of Speedy Gonzales, and I asked him for some of his thoughts on it. And this was our brief conversation. Pat, I think that most people would agree that your most unusual hit of your many hits was Speedy Gonzales.
That song had been a hit in the Philippines, a huge hit, which is where I heard it. And I said, where did that song come from? They said, well, it's an American record by an RCA Victor artist named David Dante. I said, isn't it a hit in America? I said, no, but it sure ought to be.
The lady on that record was actually Jackie Ward, who recorded Wonderful Summer under the name of Robin Ward, which was really the name of her daughter.
Oh,
her real name is Jackie Ward.
Yes, and she did a whale of a job, and of course, I can never do that part of the record. So when I do it in person, I have a track of her lead-in, and at least I can have that part of the record, and then we kick into the live version with my guys, my musicians. She was a vital part of the record.
Wow, that's something, isn't it?
Well, yes, it was. I appreciate anything. When someone says something nice about me, I'm always flattered and surprised, and I appreciate that. And, of course, Pat, he's a lovely person. He really is.
Jimmy Haskell, I believe, was involved with Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy did the arrangements, and he contracted the players that played on it. And Randy Wood actually produced
the record. Okay.
Yeah.
You were the La 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 girl on Speedy Gonzales. Yeah. It must have been a fun session.
Well, it was. It was at a place called The Annex, that no longer exists, by the way, but it was a very busy studio at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I contracted the singers that did the background singing, as well as my singing the La La La's. Jimmy said, can you do this thing, Jackie? And I said, yeah, I can do that. I can handle that. So we rehearsed it a couple of times. Pat Boone, he wasn't there yet, but he came. And then we rehearsed it again with Pat and go right to recording. That's the way they did it then. Everybody recording at the same time. I knew I was doing a character voice. It tickled me. And the other singers doing the background, they were having to keep from laughing.
There was another character on that record, namely Mel Blanc, doing the voice of Speedy Gonzales. And in fact, believe it or not, it was Pat Boone that came up with those immortal lines that Mel Blanc spoke during the record. As Pat told me,
I made up those lines that Mel Blanc did about, hey, Rosita, come quick. I got to go downtown shopping for my mother. She needs some tortillas and chili peppers.
Jackie, was Mel Blanc in the studio at that time, or did they do his part later?
They did his part later. He wasn't there when we did it.
And, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it was Jackie Ward's La La La's that inspired Elton John and his songwriting partner Bernie Taupin to write Crocodile Rock.
It was a moonlit night in old Mexico. I walked alone between some old adobe haciendas. Suddenly, I heard the plaintive cry of a young Mexican girl.
You better come home, Speedy Gonzales, away from Tannery Row. Stop all of your drinking with that floozy named Flo. Come on home to your adobe and slap some mud on the wall. The roof is leaking like a strainer. There's loads of roaches in the hall. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, I have to go shopping downtown for my mother. She needs some tortillas and chili peppers.
Your dog is gonna have a puppy, and we're running out of coal. No enchiladas in the icebox, and the television's broke. I saw some lipstick on your sweatshirt, I smelled some perfume in your ear. Well, if you're gonna keep on messing, don't bring your business back here. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home?
Speedy Gonzales. How come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, come quick. Down at the cantina, they're giving green stamps with tequila.
That was Speedy Gonzales, a recording everybody pretty much knows today, thanks to the internet, that you were doing the girl voice, the la-la-la on that record, but in those days, you know, DJs would just introduce it as a Pat Boone record. Mm-hmm. Was that frustrating to you that you didn't, back in those days, get the credit?
It didn't bother me at all because I was just so glad to be busy and working, and it was an exciting thing for me to be in the studio with all these different artists and different people, and this time with Pat Boone. I just was pleased that I got to do it. Didn't bother me at all.
We're going to move now to 1963. And there was a very popular artist. He achieved his initial popularity at the end of 1962. Very famous comedian, a parody artist by the name of Alan Sherman. Alan had an album called My Son the Folk Singer, which went to number one in the country. And then he had My Son the Celebrity, which went to number one in the country. And then he had My Son the Nut, which went to number one in the country. He would do mostly song parodies. Now, on that first album, I'm sure you remember, on the first album, there was a song called Sarah Jackman. Sarah Jackman, Sarah Jackman. Alan Sherman sang that with a lady named Christine Nelson, playing the part of Sarah Jackman. For the album My Son the Nut, he wanted another duet. Either he or somebody else chose you to play the female role on something called Here's to the Crabgrass. And interestingly enough, on the back of the album, it has your name listed as Jacqueline Ward. That was unusual, wasn't it?
It was. Actually, that is my given name, you know, Jacqueline, but I go by Jackie. I guess maybe when you filled out the W-2, I may have put down Jacqueline Ward, and that's what they went by that, you know. Because I don't remember discussing what they would call me, which is very funny, you know.
I assume that you and Alan were in the studio at the same time recording Here's to the Crabgrass.
Yes, we were. And I was hired by a singer by the name of Carol Lombard. Carol and I worked a lot in the studio together. I contracted some things. She contracted some things. She worked for Alan and did all of his contracting when he had voices. She said, Jackie, I want you to come and do this because I think you'd be perfect for it with Alan. And I came in, and he was delighted and a very funny, nice guy, just exactly what you would expect. The person that you feel you know is the way he truly is.
I took piano lessons as a kid, and I used to play this particular song, which was really called English Country Gardens. Alan wrote the parody to it, and
right.
We're going to listen to it right now. This is Alan Sherman and Jackie, or Jacqueline, Ward, doing Here's to the Crabgrass.
Here's to the crabgrass, here's to the mortgage, in fact, here's to suburbia.
Lay down your briefcase, far from the rat race, where nothing can disturb ya.
Uncomplicated, it's what we waited for so long in this city. Come, let us go there, live like Thoreau there, a life of sweet simplicity.
Did you set the thermostat?
No, I don't know where it's at.
Tuesday the cutouts meet again.
Walk the dog and cut the grass.
Take the kids to dancing class.
Jim's little league got beat again.
Can't keep a maid here no matter what they're paid here.
The place has bad publicity.
Why did we move here?
Don't you remember to live in sweet simplicity? Here's
clam dip and Fritos, to golf and bridge and scuba there. Men wearing knee pants, women in capri pants, discussing what's with Cuba there. Each big appliance treats you with defiance until it finally falls apart. Call the repairman, in a week he's there, man, to knock your kitchen walls apart.
Tommy's got a bloody nose,
gotta fix the garden hose.
Book of the month club came today.
Didn't read the last one yet.
Yes, you did, but you forget.
Oh, well, they're all the same today.
Here's Mrs. Ritter, she's the babysitter.
Tonight we're going joyously back to the city where life is gay and witty.
Back to the noise there that everyone enjoyed there.
Back to the crush there, hurry, let us rush there.
Back to the rat race, don't forget your briefcase.
Back in the groove there, say why don't we move there. Away from all of this sweet simplest.
That is so adorable. I love it. Here's to the crabgrass. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I'm so pleased to be talking to the lady on that record. She is Jackie Ward. I'm going to call you Jackie for most of this interview. Okay, you can say something, Jackie.
Okay.
I know you didn't want to interrupt me. I know. That's the thing about doing phone interviews. You know, you never know when the other person is finished. I know.
That's true.
But when I edit this, it's going to sound super smooth. I take out all the pauses and everything,
sure.
So it's going to sound great.
Yeah.
Well, those two recordings came before the big one. Your one big hit, which had a different name on the label, and I interviewed briefly. In fact, I'm going to do a full-length interview show. I talked briefly to the gentleman who was responsible for you being involved with Wonderful Summer. His name, Perry Botkin Jr. Perry, in fact, was the co-writer of the song. He wrote it with somebody else.
Gil Garfield.
Thank you for that information. And by the way, Gil Garfield was one of the three members of the vocal trio known as the Cheers, who had a big record with Black Denim Trousers and Motorcycle Boots. The song that Perry and Gil wrote, which became a very important part of your life, was Wonderful Summer. And there's a most interesting story behind this record. It involves two things. Number one, Perry Botkin Jr. speeding up your voice. And number two, having your name changed.
Well, if I can go back even a little bit further,
sure.
The interesting part about this, as we were talking earlier, the fact that I did a lot of demos for songwriters. Well, Perry asked me, would you come in and I want you to do a demo on this song for me? So I said, sure. I went in, and Perry and Gil, Perry started playing it, and he started singing this song, and he sounded like John Raitt. I mean, it was this big operatic sound. And when he finished playing it, I said, well, Perry, I think I can do that song, but I can't. I'm not going to try to sing it like what you're doing. But I said, I have an idea that might really work. It sounds to me like a young teenager who had a wonderful summer, and maybe if we just use a real youngish voice, give a listen to what I think and tell me what you think. So he started playing it, and I started singing it, and he thought, I think that's really good. That'll be just great, Jackie. We'll go into Gold Star, and we'll do it like that. That'll work. I just wanted you to know that because the song could have gone in a totally different direction, except that he wanted me to do the demo, and I couldn't sing like
that. Now, how old were you at the time, if I may ask? Were you...
Well, that's a reason why I didn't really want to use my name, because at that time I was 28 years old, and mm-hmm. I was pregnant with my fourth child.
Wow.
Yeah, really.
You were not going to sound like a teenager then.
Yeah, but I did sound like a teenager.
Well,
how
did that happen?
Well, because I deliberately made my voice sound that way. And then when we went into the studio to do the demo, and we went into the booth to listen to a playback, Perry looked at me and I looked at him and I said, Perry, that could be a hit record. And he said, that really could be a hit record. And he said, I'm going to tweak it just a little bit to give it a little edge. And when he did that, everybody said, oh, my God, that's going to be a monster record.
The tweaking involved speeding up your voice a little bit?
Yes, they sped the track up just a fraction.
And you sounded like a teenager.
Yeah, I did. Not enough to sound like the Chipmunks, mind you. They didn't speed it up that much.
No.
But they speeded it up just to give it that little edge.
The other thing, that did not come out as a Jackie Ward record. It came out as a Robin Ward record. And by the way, there is a real Robin Ward. And who might that be?
Well, the real Robin Ward in this case happens to be my daughter. I figured, well, that would be fine. I felt I could use her name and it would be okay, because I knew I wasn't going to go out and be performing this, because I really couldn't. I couldn't be this young girl. But I used my daughter's name. And she, later on, was thrilled about the fact that I'd used her name. So when anybody asks her about the record, she says, oh, yes, that's my mother singing. And she used my name.
And here's a little bit of trivia, folks. When that record was on the chart, Jackie's daughter, Robin, whose name was on the label, was only 9 years old. This is Robin Ward, at least according to the label, and Wonderful Summer. Wonderful Summer, wonderful hit record, credited to Robin Ward, but actually sung so beautifully by Robin's mommy, Jackie Ward. You recorded a few other things as Robin Ward, and I'll be playing some of those during the interview that I'll be doing in the near future with Perry Botkin Jr. For now, I'll simply mention that as Robin Ward, you also recorded a Wonderful Summer album and did a couple of singles with a gentleman named Wink Martindale, well known for a big 1959 spoken word hit called Deck of Cards, but probably better known as a TV game show host. And I hope your daughter's doing well, by the way.
She is. She's doing very well.
Well, Jackie, that pretty much covers Robin Ward's career on this show. And right now, the next seven recordings that I play are going to be with your work as a ghost singer. Six of the recordings were from motion pictures, and the other one was from a very popular TV series. And by the way, the first five examples of your ghost singing occurred in the mid-60s. 1964 through 1966. So that was your biggest period as a ghost, so to speak. The first one from a movie called Hey There, It's Yogi Bear. That was from 1964. The movie opens and spring has arrived in Jellystone Park. Just as fast as the tourists arrive, Yogi is up to his usual act of stealing their picnic baskets and any other food he encounters. And Yogi has a friend in that movie, and her name is Cindy, and at some point she confesses her love to Yogi. If you want to read anything more about this, go to the Internet Movie Database, and they have a much more detailed version of the plot. The cast of this animated movie included Dawes Butler, who probably was best known for his work with Stan Freberg back in the 50s. He did the voice of Yogi Bear. A gentleman named Don Messick was Boo Boo Bear. Hey, Boo Boo! Julie Bennett did the spoken voice of Cindy Bear. Who was it that did the singing voice of Cindy Bear? Who was
yes.
it? You're going to leave me hanging here.
Well, I've just been listening so much of what you're saying, and it brings back a lot of memories. I did the voice of Cindy.
You're the guilty party.
I'm the guilty party.
Said in the nicest way possible. Were there more than one song that you did in this movie?
I don't think so. I think that was
That's
that
the
was
one
it.
Song.
But my memory about everything I did is not exactly, I don't always remember exactly.
I assume that after all of these five films were completed, you got to see the finished product. Am I assuming correctly?
You know, I never did see the Yogi Bear film.
You never saw it?
Never saw it.
It's on YouTube.
Well, I'll have to go in and look at it. You know, you sent me the track, and I loved hearing that, and it brought back memories, but I don't remember ever seeing the movie.
This is the character Cindy Bear, voiced by Jackie Ward, doing a song called Like I Like You.
Oh, Yogi! I'd like to be aggressive, but I just don't know how. I've always been the shyest of the shyest up to now. Let's do what lovers do, pursue what they pursue. If they can love, so can we. With every cock-a-doodle, some hen goes off her noodle. Like I like you to go for me. That pair of mockingbirds don't waste their time with words. They know the score, yes siree. As for that rabbit jumping, he must be up to something. Like I like you to jump for me. We could be a loving twosome if you agree. Then let's do some. There's one delicious fact that he's and she's attract, no matter who they may be. You'll even find a zebra that's flipping for a shebra. Like I like you to flip for me. Like I like you for me. I can see a lovely future. It suits me. How's it suit you? One kiss will melt the ice. Then comes the fallen rice. You can't avoid what will be. The whole procedure is normal. Get set to rent a formal, like I intend to rent for me. Like I like you for me.
Like I Like You. Wonderful song from Hey There, It's Yogi Bear from the year 1964. Before we start talking about Natalie Wood, I have a question. When you do a session, knowing it's going to be used in a film, but you're not going to be actually seen in the film, you're doing the voice of somebody else, is there anything that you have to do differently as a session singer, or do you record it just as you would record any other recording session?
Well, you know you're going to do it. It's the part that you're playing. Your part is to be the singer, to make this song correct and the way the director and producer want it for this artist. So you're concentrating on that and doing the very best job that you can to do that.
Well, the next film that we're going to talk about is Inside Daisy Clover, starring Natalie Wood in the title role.
The first time I did the music for Natalie Wood in the movie Inside Daisy Clover, Andre Previn is the composer, and we went into the studio, and I listened to what they wanted, and I did all the charts to the way that I assumed they wanted it. And after the director and producer heard what we had done, they said, "That is just so phenomenal. It's wonderful, but it's a little too good." And the reason it's too good is because the character that Natalie is playing is this raw talent that hasn't yet been polished.
I see.
And so you got to take the edges off a little. You got to roughen it up just a little. So I had to go back in and redo it and not be quite as precise and exact.
Or polished, so to speak.
Yeah, not so polished.
Yes.
And then they were absolutely thrilled. They said, "That's perfect. You got it. That's the way she would be because she's not a polished performer." So that's what you think about when you're doing it, what the director and the producer want for the film.
When I asked the question, that's exactly what I had in mind. In other words, it seems to me that you do have the additional requirement that you should know something about the character that you're playing.
Oh, absolutely. In those cases, for sure, if there's a particular emotion that you're supposed to be generating, you have to understand that. When I first went in to record it, nobody had told me, they hadn't given me that instruction. So I gave what I considered to be a good performance, but they wanted something that was not quite so pop.
For our listeners that are not familiar with the movie, other than the title, Daisy Clover was a 15-year-old tomboy who dreamed of being a Hollywood star. And after auditioning for producer Raymond Swan of Swan Studios, she becomes the toast of Hollywood. And Daisy must then come to terms with her newfound fame and the 1930s, that's when this was set, Hollywood star treatment. The movie had some well-known names in it. Natalie Wood, of course. Christopher Plummer, who played Raymond Swan. Robert Redford was in the movie, and Ruth Gordon. And Roddy McDowell. I heard that Natalie Wood had actually recorded songs for the film, but her recordings were not used.
Well, yes, she did. She wanted to do the recordings herself. And, you know, I can understand that. She's the star of the movie, and she wants it to be her. She doesn't want to share it with somebody else. Not that she would be, but maybe she felt that way, I'm assuming. But she did go in, and she recorded all of it, but the director and the producer felt that it just wasn't going to work. It wasn't quite what they had in mind. I think they auditioned about 200 people to put that. Sometimes that happens. And then finally a contractor that I know asked me if I would go in and sing for it. So
You mean they didn't automatically say, "Oh, okay, we have a job, let's get Jackie Ward immediately"?
Or... No. I went in. In fact, I couldn't care. I told this as a favor to the contractor. His name was Bill Lee, vocal contractor. I said, "Sure, Bill, I'll go in." Because he was trying to find a singer for Andre. And so when I went in, I met Andre. I admired Andre, so it was nice meeting him. And so he said, "What are you going to sing?" Trying to remember what I sang. Well, maybe it'll come to me. When I was singing, I turned and sang to him. I didn't even look at the director because I was there to sing for Andre. What they asked me for is they said, "We want a young Judy Garland type." So that's what I kind of gave them my version of that, and they were thrilled. They said, that's perfect. That's what we want. So that's how it all came about.
Well, here's the song I've chosen to play. Did you do several songs from Inside Daisy Clover, not just this one?
Oh, yeah, we did several,
okay. The one I've picked is The Circus is a Wacky World.
It was fine and funny and shiny new. So when it left from my hometown, well, of course, I left with it too. Wouldn't you? The circus is a wacky world. How I love it. Hocus Pocus Ballyhoo. Ain't it great with the clown that always breaks you up, the elephant that shakes you up, the overture that wakes you up, because the circus is a wacky world. It's a riot, razzmatazz and hoochie-coochie. Ain't it grand, what a jazzy world. You find the scene until you are behind the scene, and once you are behind the scene, you'll see the circus is a wacky world. From me, but it ain't at all what it's supposed to be. It ain't what it's supposed to be. The clowns don't smile, that's just a painted grin. The bearded lady is a man, the fat man's really thin. The toothless lion is anything but bold. The midget isn't small at all. He's only 5 years old. The circus hasn't anything like what they say is in it. But as old Keith Barnum said, there's one born every minute. It isn't great, it isn't grand. Tell me why it clicks. It isn't real, it isn't real. It's just a bag of tricks. The circus is a wacky world, make believe in Hocus Pocus Ballyhoo. What a fake, how you tend to lose the kick of it when you are in the thick of it. How quick you find you're sick of it. And yes, and yes, the circus is the strangest place. Can't explain it. When you start to play your part, it's your home, so you don't exactly live it up. You still would never give it up. How could you ever give it up? Oh no! The even wackier world outside. Don't just ride a fan, start the show.
The circus is a wacky world from Inside Daisy Clover, 1965. Did you ever meet Natalie Wood?
I never met Natalie. And, you know, I really understand. She didn't want to know that I existed. You know, this was her film, and I really understand that. So, no, I never met her.
Well, maybe they gave her the impression initially that they were going to use her vocals, and then she found out
later.
They
may have. It's possible. That I don't know.
Before we get to Beach Blanket Bingo, I do have a question. The most famous ghost singer of all time was Marnie Nixon.
Oh, yes.
Sadly, we lost her not too long ago. Did you ever meet or work with Marnie?
I did. I had the privilege several times of working with Marnie. A lovely person and had a gorgeous soprano voice. Lovely. And, yeah, I did work with her. In fact, the very last recording that she did as a background singer in a group, I did with her.
Wow.
And I remember the day vividly because it was some rock and roll song. I don't even know what it was. But she was there and she was doing some of the backgrounds. And after that session, she said, you know, that's it. Really, this kind of music, that's not what I do, and I'm not going to do any more of this. You know, and she was right. I understood it. It was just not her cup of tea, as you say. No. You know, she's a very polished singer, and she really just didn't feel good about it, so I got to do the last one. But I did several. I did a lot of choir singing with her, many things, when they had a bunch of singers for the films and different records, yeah.
Marnie did the dubbing for Deborah Carr in The King and I.
Yes.
And then Natalie Wood in West Side Story.
Absolutely.
And then Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
Well, three of the biggest movies of all time.
She was an incredible singer, no question
Absolutely.
About it.
We're going to move now to Beach Blanket Bingo, 1965. This was the fourth of the highly successful Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello beach party movies. This particular one, a motorcycle gang led by Eric Von Zipper, kidnaps singing star Sugar Cane, managed by somebody named Bullets. Am I reading? Yeah, that's what it says here. Who hires skydiving surfers Steve and Bonnie from Big Drop for a publicity stunt with the usual gang of kids and a mermaid named Lorelei. I hope you've all been taking notes, because there may be a surprise quiz in about 10 minutes. Only kidding. It stars Frankie and Annette as Frankie and Dee Dee. They didn't call her Annette in those movies. They called her Dee Dee.
Right.
Deborah Wally was in there, playing the role of Bonnie Graham. Donna Lauren, she played a character named Donna. Linda Evans played Sugar Cane. And someone named Jackie Ward was the singing voice of Sugar Cane.
It's one of those things where you go in the studio. I never met her. I, you know, didn't know what she thought of it, but I went into the studio and recorded the music and never saw her. She mouthed to what I did. I didn't have to say mouth to the screen. In some cases, you have to mouth to the screen. You know, they've already done the film, have to sing to the screen. But in this case, I recorded the song and she mouths to the song.
She being Linda Evans. When I mentioned several cast members a few seconds ago, I left out a very important one. He plays the role of Bullets. I won't even have to tell you that it's Paul Lynde. Following his unique introduction, we have Jackie Ward singing and Linda Evans moving her lips to He's My New Love.
All right, kids, and I guess you always will be for the rest of your lives. Old Bullets has a real treat for you. Miss Sugarcane doing a number from her new album, Come Fall With Me.
He's My New Love. And that was you, ghost singing for Linda Evans in the film Beach Blanket Bingo. And now we go back to Natalie Wood. In a 1965 movie called The Great Race, it was you doing the voice of her character, Maggie Dubois. The movie was about a popular daredevil proposing an automobile race across three continents, with his arch rival vowing to beat him. While an ambitious female reporter, Maggie Dubois had her own plans for victory. And the song that I'm going to play right now is The Sweetheart Tree, music written by Henry Mancini, lyrics by Johnny Mercer, and it was nominated for an Oscar. Did you do other songs from The Great Race, or was this the only one that you did from that movie?
That's the only song that I did. And I did it as a record for Henry Mancini, and they put it in the movie. Nobody asked me about it, they just did.
You didn't even know that it was going to be a ghost singing thing?
I went in to record the song with Henry as a demo, and then suddenly, miraculously, appeared in the movie. At the time, I had no idea what that's what it was for. But he wanted, basically, a sweet sound and so forth. That's what we did.
The movie, incidentally, also starred Peter Falk, Keenan Wynn, Arthur O'Connell, Vivian Vance, and Dorothy Provine. So a lot of heavyweight people in the movie. And right now, doing the singing voice of Maggie Dubois, Malv in the movie by Natalie Wood, this is Jackie Ward and The Sweetheart Tree.
They say there's a tree in the forest, a tree that will give you a sign. Come along with me to the sweetheart tree. Come and carve your name next to mine. They say if you kiss the right sweetheart, the one you've been waiting for, to sight, and your love will be true evermore.
That was The Sweetheart Tree. Nice little song. And if you want to see the portions of these movies where Jackie is actually doing the singing, they're on YouTube. And this particular one I just played, The Sweetheart Tree, it also has the lyrics, so you can sing along with the lyrics that Jackie is singing. We have one more ghost singing recording that I'm going to play. This is 1966 from a movie that was I'm laughing because of the information I'm reading, Jackie. This was originally from a movie called An American Dream. That's such a nice title, isn't it? An American Dream. They eventually changed the title of the movie to See You in Hell, Darling.
They changed it. Oh, I didn't realize that.
They did.
Because I have the sheet music, and it says An American Dream.
Yeah, but this is, I've read this in several places. They changed it because they felt that they would get a bigger audience with that. The movie was about a TV talk show host who may have killed his wife and who finds himself being pursued by both the police and a gang of hoods. And between you and me, Jackie, that doesn't sound much like An American Dream. That does sound a lot more like See You in Hell, Darling.
You're right.
But the song that you sang was A Time for Love. Was that the only song that you sang from this movie?
That was the only song in the movie, right.
Johnny Mandel wrote the music, and Paul Francis Webster wrote the lyrics. And like The Sweetheart Tree, the Mancini-Mercer song, this was also nominated for an Academy Award. And the movie stars Stuart Whitman, Eleanor Parker, Janet Leigh, who played Cherry McMahon, and you were the voice of Cherry McMahon. So you were dubbing for Janet Leigh, doing a song called A Time for Love.
The part she played, she was a nightclub singer. And my instructions on this were, she's starting to sing the song, and then Stuart Whitman comes into the club, and she's really angry with him, so she starts getting an angry sound. So that was my instruction for that song, getting a little stiffer and a little angrier in her voice.
A time for summer skies, for hummingbirds and butterflies, for tender words that harmonize with love. A time for climbing hills, for leaning out of windowsills, admiring the daffodils above. A time for rainbow-colored weather, a time of make-believe that we've been dreaming of. As time goes drifting by, the willow bends, and so do but oh my friend, whatever sky above, I've known a time for spring, a time for fall, but best of all, a time for love.
Jackie Ward doing a song called A Time for Love from the motion picture. Well, I'm not going to go through that again. Just rewind your tape. I don't want to read the two titles again. The Partridge Family. Yeah, I understand that at least 10 minutes of your illustrious career were devoted to the Partridge Family. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, I definitely spent a lot of time with the Partridge Family.
More than 10 minutes, actually.
Oh, yeah.
By your own estimate, how many songs did you record as part of the Partridge Family recordings?
We did the show for several years, and there would be a couple of songs for every show.
Okay,
and then
cool.
It adds some songs for the various albums.
I heard it was around 160.
You know, it's got to be at least that many,
oh, okay.
I would say. We just did so many.
The two people most notable in the Partridge Family on TV were David Cassidy and Shirley Jones. You were on every single one of those records.
That's correct.
What was Shirley Jones's involvement with those records? Was her voice actually on those records, on some of them?
Well, Wes Farrell, who was the producer of the music, knew that he had to have a track of Shirley's singing because when they did the television show, they would pan on the screen. When they would go past her, he had to be able to pull up her track so that you would hear her and recognize her voice. But for the actual records, he never used her track. And the reason he didn't is because he was making hit records. Shirley had a magnificent voice, but was totally inappropriate for the Partridge Family sound he wanted to have a hit record with.
Right.
And so her voice was never actually used on the records. Unless there was a record where she had a little solo or something, now that'd be different.
Yeah.
But as far as I recall, I don't think that was the case. I don't think there were any. But I knew he had one separate track of her that he could use for the film.
I see. And they could actually take the track out or increase the volume or decrease the volume?
That's right. That's exactly what they can do. They can not have it in or pull it up or whatever.
I'm going to play a record that went to number one on the chart. And the song is called I Think I Love You. All the female voicing that we hear in this record is you.
Yes.
We're going to listen to it right now. Written by a gentleman named Tony Romeo. He passed away so sadly. Great songwriter. I Think I Love You.
In the middle of a good dream, like all at once I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I hold my pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread. I think I love you.
I think I love you.
This morning I woke up with this feeling I didn't know how to deal with, and so I just decided to myself I'd hide it to myself and never talk about it, and did not go and shout it when you walked into the room. I think I love you.
I think I love you.
I think I love you. So what am I so afraid of? I'm afraid that I'm not sure of a love there is no cure for. I think I love you. Not what life is made of. Though it worries me to say that I never felt this way.
I don't know what I'm up against. I don't know what it's all about. I got so much to think about.
Hey, I think I love you. So what am I so afraid of? I'm afraid that I'm not sure of a love there is no cure for. I think I love you. Isn't that what life is made of? Though it worries me to say I never felt this way. You really don't have to worry. I only want to make you happy. And if you say, hey, go away, I will. But I think better still, I'd better stay around and love you. Do you think I have a case? Let me ask you to your face. Do you think you love me?
I think I love you. I think I love you.
I think I love you.
I think I love you.
I think I love you.
Great song, and so many hit records came from that show. That was the biggest one. The follow-up was also a top 10 record, got to number 6 on the chart. Doesn't Somebody Want to Be Wanted? Doesn't Somebody Want to... That's the one. Okay. Thank you, Ronnie. All right.
You know, there was a terrific group. It was David Cassidy singing, and Tom Baylor, and John Baylor, and Ron Hicklin, and then me. That those were the singers on all those...
I'm glad singers. You mentioned the Baylors, because you know me, I would have said Balor. I mean, it's B-A-H-L-E-R. You did a lot of work with those three, didn't you? Not just the Partridge Family.
Oh, yes. I was in the studio all the time with them. Ray Conniff and, you know, doing all that stuff. And other record dates, yeah. Just multiple times. Doing commercials, everything, yeah.
You mentioned a few moments ago that on occasion you had to mouth your voice while watching somebody move their lips on the screen. Another example of that came in 1987 when you were asked to do just that to a very well-known patriotic song. The movie was The Witches of Eastwick, and the stars included Jack Nicholson, Cher, Susan Sarandon, and Michelle Pfeiffer.
That is a movie where I went in and redid something that had already been done and filmed, because the singer was too good, and it had to be not so good. So I had to go in and sing America the Beautiful. I'm looking at the screen, watching her mouth, and being the character, this was a school teacher who sang operatic sounds.
Right.
And I had to look at her voice and sing America the Beautiful and catch every time she'd say the words.
The actress was Veronica Cartwright, and this was the scene.
All right, horns up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, be
beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains' majesty.
Wow. It's not easy to do.
Well, just listening to what you said, when you say they wanted me to sound not so good, but in my opinion, you, Jackie Ward, had to be good to be able to do not so good well. Do you catch my drift?
Oh, I do exactly. And you're right. You have to be able to do that. And it's not easy, but I did
yeah.
it.
It's like what Joe Stafford, one of my all-time favorite female
vocalists.
Oh, I
know what you're going to say.
Yeah, you know I'm going to mention Darlene Edwards.
Absolutely.
And Darlene Edwards was just slightly off key, slightly off rhythm. Joe Stafford was one of the finest female vocalists of all time. She knew how to make Darlene do it really, like, comedic
yes.
is the word.
Oh,
and really come across. But I do know that Joe Stafford was
oh, yeah. No,
marvelous.
Joe Stafford is. That she had perfect pitch and was absolutely a superb singer.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only a soloist, but a superb lead group singer. She had all the marbles.
I mentioned earlier in the show during my wonderful introduction to you, which took me 10 hours to come up with, by the way. Jackie, I mentioned that by your estimate you've done, how many films did I say you did, about 800 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Uh-huh.
Could you just rattle off about five, just as a representative sample of a few that you did?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, the Little Mermaid, cartoon type stuff, Home Alone, Edward Scissorhands, a lot of the Clint Eastwood movies, The Pale Rider, a bunch of his things like that. I'm very grateful when the checks come in from Screen Actors Guild for all the movies I did, and they keep paying, you know. A little bit.
You also did some TV show themes as well.
Oh, gosh, yes. Maud, Love American Style, of course, The Partridge Family, Banana Split, Patty Duke, Jetsons cartoon, a lot.
You also worked with so many big-name artists that I mentioned. Frank Sinatra and Barbara Streisand we're going to hear as bonus tracks. I found on YouTube an interesting video. It's one of the few videos where I actually see the great maestro Billy Vaughan. He was a singing member of the Hilltoppers initially.
That's
Billy Vaughan
right.
was. And then he became the musical director of Dot Records, a company you know very well.
Very well, yeah.
And I found this video on YouTube. Even before I found out that I was going to interview you, I saw this video. You're performing with another Jackie by the name of Jackie Allen. And
yes.
Shelby Flint, who had a hit record called Angel on My Shoulder.
What you're talking about seeing was we've traveled to Japan with him when he toured in Japan with his orchestra.
Oh, I see.
And that's what you're seeing there. That was a concert tour in Japan.
Did you know Billy Vaughan well?
I went to Japan with him for about 16 years. And each time we went, we were there 4, 5, 6 weeks. Yeah. So, yeah, I got to know
him. You did get to know him.
I definitely did.
Did you know him in your old Robin Ward days, because he was with Dot Records then?
I knew him, and I did a couple things as a background singer with him, with Jackie. Jackie Allen did most of his things. So I did do a couple things, but I didn't really know him that well until I started traveling with him on his tours.
This is from 1989. Mr. Sandman, a Hawaiian medley, and Jambalaya. Jackie Ward, Jackie Allen, and Shelby Flint.
I'm
Jackie, I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your amazing career.
I appreciate the opportunity to tell you about myself, and I'm amazed at what you've researched and found, and I feel very privileged.
I want to wish you continued health, happiness, and success, and from the bottom of my heart, Jackie, I thank you so very much.
Well, you are very, very welcome.
Well, I also want to thank Perry Botkin Jr. for inspiring me to do this show with you. As I mentioned earlier, I'll be doing a separate interview show with him in the near future. Do you still sing these days?
No, I haven't done anything for about 11 years now, but I'm perfectly content. When you've done it for so long, you've done everything you possibly could. And as you get older, your voice doesn't work the same as it did when you were younger. And if you can't do it as well as you used to do it, you don't want to do it. You understand what I'm saying?
I can understand.
But life is good, and I feel blessed. I have been blessed, and just grateful for all the opportunities I had and all the people I got to work with.
We are going to close with a recording that you did with the Ray Conniff Singers. Now, you worked with several groups of well-known singers. You also worked with Anita Carr, I believe.
Right, I sure did. Johnny Mann, Percy Faith.
All the heavyweights, it seems. Well, who else? Did you ever work with the Ray Charles Singers?
You know, he was out of New York, but when he came to town, I did some things with him here.
There's this one track on YouTube with the Ray Conniff Singers where your voice is featured. You're the soloist.
Yes.
The song was from a motion picture that starred Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand. And here's your rendition of the song. By the way, you could check this out on YouTube as well. From 1974, this is the Ray Conniff Singers. Up front, we have Jackie Ward doing The Way We Were.
Mary lights the corners of my mind. Misty watercolor memories of the way we were.
That's the show. And now, here's a couple of bonus tracks. Two legendary top 10 hits on which Jackie Ward sang back up. From 1966, Frank Sinatra, That's Life.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life. And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die.
From 1970, Barbara Streisand, Stony End.